My name is Riley. I'm the co-founder and chief technology officer of Chaotic Moon Studios.
So, how did Chaotic Moon get started?
In about 3 years ago, I was one of the founders of the iPhone Dev Camps with Raven Zachary and Dom Segola and some other guys, Chris Messina and everybody. And one of them came to me the night before the camp. We were in New York and said, "I'm going to start an iPhone app company." And for just a brief moment, I thought, "I am also going to start an app company." And then, like Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars, the voice of one of my mentors popped into my head and said, "Pioneers get arrows in the back," which was Tom Bishop from, Bell Labs, and he always says that. And so I thought, maybe I should wait a little bit. And so I got with Mike, and we set out a plan to 2010 kind of move into the mobile space and, very well thought through and kind of try to take over everything. And so that was how we got, that was the initial seed of the idea. And somewhere in between there, we met Ben and worked on a couple side projects with him and kind of fell in love with his work and the creative team he brought and kind of the creative energy and, all of the stuff. I mean, he's done everything for Genentech and Whirlpool and Michelin and, you name it, somehow he's touched the stuff. And so that was really exciting. In January, Ben and I started hanging out with Mike with our three laptops, figuring out what the plan would be. We got a preliminary customer in February, and then we launched in March at South by Southwest in 2010.
So were you primarily just going to focus on iPhone development, or?
We're gonna be trying to be platform agnostic. So we don't really have a lot of platform loyalty, although we do have platforms, case in point, that we've really enjoyed developing for a lot more. One of the things that was exciting about working with Windows Phone 7 was a chance to kind of be there as the platform was being developed, which gave us a totally different perspective. Because with iPhone and Android, we kind of came in after the fact. So there was a lot of opportunity to provide feedback and kind of be involved and, kind of get ideas kind of early on. So we really liked being in that position. It was a lot of fun.
Tell us about some of your most popular applications on all the platforms. Kind of give me a kind of
So,
array.
right now, our most popular application overall is Grover, the Monster at the End of the Book, which is an interactive storybook that's available on iPad. We did that with Sesame Street and Callaway Digital, and it's killing it. So it's kind of putting everything else. But we've done apps like FlightAware, which is a system that takes and parses the FAA database and shows you where all the planes are in real time and all the data about them. We've done a number of other apps.
FlightAware, what app, what platform is that on?
FlightAware is on iPhone right
Okay.
now, and it's coming to Android. It needs to
Okay.
come to Windows Phone 7,
Okay.
but it's a very good app. We've also done apps like ColorAid, which is an application, an augmented reality app for colorblind people. So they look through the viewfinder, and it identifies the colors, by showing not only the color, but the title of the color in Pantone or whatever system. And they can use that to mix and match things and do things like shopping and other things. And we did that as part of our social innovation program. We were really excited about it, but we thought, like, nobody will really care. And it's been hugely popular because a lot of people have written us and said, "Well, thanks for, letting me test this out, because basically I have to ask my wife or my, significant other," and it's mostly colorblind men, right? And they're like, I hate having to ask, questions about that or this or that." And some of them find it like it's a really good equalizer, because now they can just figure out everything on their own. One gentleman said he's no longer taking his wife shopping. We're actually doing a lot more in social innovation this year, so
You'd be a great
we'll be
mentor, I
doing a
think, for
number.
that, because
Yeah,
you
we'll
went
be
through that
doing a number.
yourself. Yeah.
Ah,
That's a little
yes.
side commentary.
That'll be great.
So how does your role change since the beginning? Obviously, you bootstrapped the company. What do you do day to day with the apps and
So we have a joke on our website of what a typical day looks like. But really what a typical day looks like is usually we have a management meeting around 5 or 5:30 a.m. And we kind of chart out what we're doing on the various projects that day. We have about 20 or 30 projects going in tandem at any given time. Some of them are, much larger than others. A lot of them might be through our App Resurrection program, which is where if you already have built an app or hired someone to build an app and maybe it didn't hit the metrics you want or it just doesn't quite work the way you wanted, we kind of re-envision and retool apps for a lot of people. And they publish it back out under the same, it's an update, right? 1.x, 2 dot whatever. We usually review all of the clients that we're working with. That takes us a few hours. And then the rest of the day is, Ben runs a creative team. and has an unbelievable amount of deliverables on a daily basis that he has to crank out. I'm running the engineering team with Steve Smith, who's our chief scientist, and you know, basically it's based, you know, full bore, full blast, working until probably, you know, 2 or 3 on average, and then we start again at, you know, 5 or 5:30, and we can sustain that for a good 12 or 13 days before, you know, guys need to sleep for 24 hours.
So you get involved in the estimations, but you also get, you know, involved in overseeing the engineering.
Absolutely. Mike and Ben and I run everything. So, you know, I do all of the kind of the technical vision and kind of the vision along with Ben, and he adds a creative, and Mike does all of the pricing out and contractual agreements and all of that stuff. So we have a pretty smooth little system.
What was your first Windows Phone 7 project?
Our first Windows Phone 7 project was The Revenants. We did a couple in tandem, but that was our original title, and we were really excited about working
on it. The Revenants? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
did you come up with that name? Or
actually, that's Ben's name and concept. So we had a really good time on that. It was, again, it was really interesting to be building something while the platform was, you know, still being tooled up, and have the opportunity to kind of contribute back in cases and really take advantage of features. We were excited about being a launch title, which it was in the Xbox game section. So that was you know, that was kind of a big deal for us.
You know, a migration process, or the differences between an iPhone platform and say a Windows Phone 7 platform. What would you say some of those highlights are moving to a platform if you already have an existing app on iPhone, or if you don't, for instance, doing
like,
that new
I feel
effort.
Like we have a little bit more freedom on Windows Phone 7 in some ways. I think Microsoft took a number of pages from Apple's book on things they do right, and then I think they kind of went through and really listened to what developers were saying we also would like to do, and they've done a lot of that. And so, you know, migration's been a big part of what we've been doing. You know, we're right now, we've just migrated Enigma, which is a very popular iPhone game, and we're importing it over. It's been fairly straightforward. It's been more of, you know, putting tweaks and touches and polishes on it than a lot of difficulty. You know, you always want that magic button that you just say, like, make it work over there, right? And there's been all of these programming languages that have had the promise of that, and none of them have really delivered, right? And there's all sorts of tools that give you this multi-platform view that say, well, if you do this, you can do it everywhere, and it never kind of works out. It like does 80% or something. So what I prefer is kind of what we have with Windows Phone 7, which is it's very well documented. We have a really rich tool set, and it makes it very easy for our engineers to say, this is what we've done on the iPhone. Here are the, you know, sister components, if you will, on Windows Phone 7, and build a migration path. It's really straightforward. I mean, we've migrated several things, and we're about to migrate, you know, another couple of apps, as you know. And there hasn't been a big migration issue. We haven't had to call you guys or go look stuff up. I mean, it's all very straightforward. That's far different, especially from the Android platform. With Android, you know, we find we have to target a specific OS on a specific device, and you know, there's always some things missing, and it becomes, you know, it's the, by comparison, probably, you know, 8 to 10x the time and effort to port something like Enigma to Android than it is, you know, to port it onto Windows Phone 7.
Okay,
so
wow.
there's been an advantage in us, and we've actually have our business development people looking for opportunities when we talk to customers to port things to Windows Phone 7, because we know that it's not a, you know, going to be a nightmarish headache, right? It's pretty straightforward.
So you mentioned the panoramic control. Mm-hmm. You like the panos.
I do.
The dashboarding aspect. A lot of people do. It's a very unique control. Talk about some of those things that you really like, I mean, from a Metro perspective.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Metro goes, there's a number of things I like. Again, huge fan of the tiles. I just think that being able to look at my phone and instantly get the information I need is, you know, I mean, that's what I have it there for, right? It's my life. And with the panorama, what I liked most was that Microsoft took a kind of a diverging path away from where everything else is going. I mean, if you look at iPhone kind of coming out, you know, ahead of everyone and setting the standard, Android quickly started to look, you know, like it bought all these other platforms quickly started to say, well, people really like that on iPhone, so we'll have that kind of feature over here and have that. And what I really enjoyed about, you know, this project and what I really enjoy about Windows Phone 7 is that Microsoft isn't an also-ran. It's risky. You're going in a completely different direction. A lot of people, it takes them a little bit to get the pano and to get the look and feel of it. But it's super intuitive, I think when I say that, I mean for developers to say, what can I do with this? Because it's really intuitive to users, which often, as you know, is not intuitive to engineers, which is why when engineers build a product, often users can't use it. But I really think that it's doing something different. It's doing something that is unique and allows me as a developer to have a tool set as far as a UI perspective goes to where I can do some really different things. And we have something pretty cool planned that Ben has asked us not to talk about. We have something really, really cool planned for this year on Windows Phone 7 that's going to really use Metro to its full extent, as well as the ability to surface that lower level information.
Tell us one story I understand for some of the independent software vendors that learning Metro has been kind of it's slightly different than what they're used to in the iPhone specifically. So during a migration process where you're actually looking at an iPhone app, tell us maybe one story or two of taking a control and moving it over
to like a completely new canvas, right? I mean, that's what's great about it is, look, no engineers enjoy just porting something. I mean, maybe if it's their favorite app and it's really cool or whatever, but with Metro and porting from an Android or iPhone to Windows Phone 7, you now have like this completely new thing you can do. And it sounds so simple, panoramas. Okay, so you can make a background image and you can do some things, but you can do some really creative things with how you're displaying information, where you're putting it. And what's exciting about that is that it gets our engineering team excited about being part of the creative process. They're able to say, you know what, this is what was done on iPhone or this is what was done on Android. But we have this new canvas to work with over here as far as, the tiles, the panorama, all of these things. And our teams on the creative side and engineering side work very close together. When we have a project where we're porting from Android to iPhone or vice versa, the assets are there. The creative's there, right? It's pretty much done. So the engineers are just going to kind of put their heads down and watch a chessboard and just do exactly what they're supposed to. The creative team is also going to do this, that. When we're going to Windows Phone 7, there's an opportunity for them to collaborate and come up with, a bunch of new ideas about, like, how should the interface work? What should they do differently? And, there's still things that are, I call them limiting factors, and it's with all due respect, but, if we could get rid of all of the anything standard, we would, right? That's just who we are. But still, you give us some. I think it's kind of like if you think about music. I was a bass player. It's kind of like playing a fretted bass versus a fretless bass. On Android and iPhone, it's kind of like you can find yourself in that kind of fretted bass, kind of in a cage almost, right? And when you go to Windows Phone 7, it's kind of like playing a fretless bass. And there's kind of like no limitation. You can go kind of in between things and really, really do some very creative stuff on an interface that, again, I think right now, I mean, it's my favorite interface out there.
So, for the actual number of controls that are out there for Phone 7 versus the controls for the Phone SDK, I've heard a lot of ISVs use Interface Builder to an extent, and then they abandon it in favor of just writing their own controls.
Right.
Did you witness that yourself as well?
As far as using Interface Builder, there's something everyone's missing right now. It's like Interface Builder is a good tool for kind of laying some stuff out. To be blunt, we always abandon it. We always just start, in the code with our own controls. There's some preset components there, but we don't find them as useful as they could be. I mean, not to slam the tool. It's great. It's not how we work as our style. We do like the fact that with a lot of the controls within Metro, we were able to accelerate development, not prototyping or just kind of what interfaces would look like.
So you don't abandon the tools.
Don't abandon the tools on the Windows Phone 7 side. Not that we won't. We're always looking for that. But so far, and we've done several apps, we've been able to work within that framework and within that tool set very effectively and not had a need to go out and really create anything extra. There's a couple of games we have that are very OpenGL heavy. That would be about the furthest we've diverged right from just using things out of the box.
Okay. And so just to kind of wrap up here, So other than, so tell me about the future of your company a little bit, and where you see your company going from a Windows Phone 7 perspective.
From a Windows Phone 7 perspective, I see a lot more titles. I mean, we're managing a lot of titles and developing a lot of titles for things like Sesame Street and Hello Kitty and all of those. And I see us bringing all of those onto the Windows Phone 7 platform. I also see a lot more original title development. With the latest version of the software, there's a bunch of features that we were waiting on that'll allow us to do more of our augmented reality stuff on the platform, that'll allow us to do a lot more interactive gaming and a lot more of the three screens type, computing as far as the phone goes. So I see there'd be a lot of that from us. We have a new task management system that we're releasing that will really take advantage of you being able to take it from computer to phone to even Xbox for notifications, since that seems to be where my partner spends a fair amount of time.
Okay. Well, I understand you have we have Revenants for you to show us.
We
It's
do
your
have
first Xbox
Revenants.
Live title.
So the Revenants is a really simple touch-based game, and it's very surprising how fast people become addicted to it. So if we start a new game here, we'll go on the easy level because I'm not the best player. We find ourselves with this spirit that's awakened in this kind of dungeon-like prison. There's multiple levels of these. And the goal of the game is I can kind of move around here, and then I can make these portals, if I can make a portal. And in making these portals, I complete the circle there, I create a vortex. I collect all of the spirits of these enemies that I'm trying to battle. And as we do that, more enemies will appear, and we'll unlock some achievements. So we just unlocked the Banish achievement, which will give us points in our Xbox Live console on the Xbox. We'll do a room transition here in a second. And so we move into a new level. And as we move into a new level, there's a lot more enemies and there's a lot more objects. They also, each enemy has a separate behavior. So you notice I tried the same technique I tried previously, and that didn't work. And that's because spiders act different than rats, act different than centipedes, and so on and so forth. So now I'll try to capture all of those. And then I'll try to set up a portal here, so that I can capture them. The spiders will wander aimlessly in there, whereas the rats and others won't. So that unlocked an achievement called It's a Trap. And that's where basically you take some of the enemies and you lay the trap out before them, and then they walk into it. But again, if I try that again with some of these other enemies, it won't work. Oops. And that's our game.